Hallelujah. You can be seated. Are you glad you're here tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, we're getting a little late start tonight. I hope you'll bear with me. We'll try not to hold you long. I have been in places to where I didn't get started until around 12 o'clock. But so we're getting started earlier, you know, here. But it's a little bit late, but I'm glad for the testimonies and the different things that took place, and maybe it won't take me long to get over what I had in mind tonight. You know, I noticed they've got some little addressy cards here that they print up down at the place where we're at. Some of you might like tapes, literature. We've got hundreds of tapes on spiritual revelation. In our meetings, we don't make too much attempt to preach spiritual revelation, because in trying to preach spiritual revelation to you, some of you would never understand what we're saying. Spiritual things of God are so deep, so very deep, and some of you wouldn't even know. You'd just be completely lost, and you wouldn't even know what we were saying. So we try to refrain from that in the services and try to preach something that will be on the level, you know, every person's level, to where they can understand what we're saying. But we have hundreds of tapes of the deep mysteries of God. And if you would like to have them, they don't cost you anything. All you have to do is write. They're little cassette tapes. We have a machine that reproduces them every 45 seconds. And all you've got to do is write, and they'll send you some of them if you'd just like to have them. If we don't have your address on the mailing list, we'd like to have it. I want to take just a minute here and do something I never have done in my services. A little bit unusual. First of all, I'd like to say that I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for the offerings that you've given to us, and for the consideration of coming out and listening to the gospel. And I trust God will bless West Virginia and bless you and yours, and that everything will be well with you. We're just thankful to be here. We stopped and talked with Brother Mose today. He was kind enough to fix our bus brakes for us, for which we're very grateful. Amen. Because it could have cost us our lives. But he took his time today. The ox was in the ditch, and he got right in and pulled him out so the gospel could go on. And I'm very grateful for it. We're also grateful for Brother Ernie. He's been very kind to us. And Brother Ernie has tried to be on the level with us in everything. He's not tried to be binding in the services, but he's given us our liberty. And we've really enjoyed ministering here. I'm a little bit hoarse tonight because this is the 11th night of the meeting, and I preached 8 of them. And then, of course, we preached today out on the riverbank, Ohio riverbank, for quite a little bit. And that's hard on you without a mic. And then we ministered a little bit on TV today and radio. And it seems like a minister keeps his throat pulled down all the time anyway. But I'm thankful tonight for you, and I trust that you'll bear with us as we try to bring out a little something in Christ. We baptized 10 today on the riverbank. And I'm a straight shooter. I believe in doing things the way that it ought to be done. A lot of people might not understand me. The Bible said God would have a peculiar people zealous of good works. And we had quite a few young people out there today to be baptized. And they are not acquainted with the name Jesus as far as baptism. And so we took plenty of time to preach to them why that they should be baptized like that. And I made sure that they thoroughly understood. And they were baptized. After that, they were gladly baptized in the name of Jesus. I told them to begin with, I said, I will not baptize anybody in pants. I will not baptize anybody in low-neck dresses. And I said, if you're going to be baptized, you're going to be baptized right. And you fellas that's got the long hair is going to have to cut the long hair off. Because the Bible said it's a shame for men to have long hair.
Amen.
So we just come right down the line. I said, when I get through preaching to you, you might not want to go in the water. But I said, I'm going to tell you just like it is. When I got through, they said, Brother Pike, we want to be baptized. And I said, are you going to serve God? They said, we're going to serve God.
I
said, we want to be used of God, and we want to serve God. So you don't lose anybody by preaching the gospel, do you?
Amen.
I've been preaching the gospel for years, and I've never lost any children. I've gained a lot of them. We've got children in Canada, children in the islands. We've got children all over the nation, and still getting more all the time. So I thank God for his wonderful blessings, and I'm sure that we'll reap a benefit from some of those baptisms as things go along. Now, just give me just a few minutes, and I'd like for my Gracie to come back up here. Gracie, Dan, and Joe, just for a minute. They're not going to sing another song, but I'd like for them to come up here for just a minute. Would you do that for me? I want my Danny and Joe and Gracie. Can you get that box right there, Danny? Joe, can you get one of them? Now, I believe we're to come out from among the world, don't you? The Bible said, come out from among the world and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and then I will receive you, saith the Lord. So Danny and Joe here, what they've got here are some pencils. Now, we've never done this before, but I felt to do it tonight. We don't sell anything. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. And we don't sell anything, our literature or our tapes or anything else. For many long years, we've gone by faith. I don't carry any money. I don't take any personal offerings. If you had $1 million tonight and you wanted to give it to me, you'd have to go away disappointed because I do not take it. I never carry money with me. I never have any money, not even one penny. For many years, I've never kept even as much as a penny in my pocket. I don't take any personal offerings from anybody. And we go strictly by faith, and you can't give me an offering. The only way I get an offering is as you give it through Brother Ernie. It goes back to the work. We've got books set up to where I never mess with money. I don't think it's good for preachers to mess with money. It just gets them in trouble, and I just don't mess with it. I just don't give place to the devil to start with. All right, now, but these pencils are pencils that's printed up here with the name of our school. We have our own school there. We believe in coming out from among the world, and we don't believe in sending our children to public school for the people to indoctrinate them with something that will be contrary to what we're trying to tell them. I think the Jews had a lot more understanding than the Gentiles. The Jews never believed in bringing their children up to be bondsmen to the world out yonder, to bring up a daughter to be a secretary to somebody out there that's going to wreck her life, or to bring them up saying you'd better get an education so you can be a bondsman to the world out there and make money. The Jews never did that. They raised them up for their own purpose and for God's purpose. And that's what we believe. And these pencils right here, all they want to do is to give you some of these pencils for your children. I'm sure some of you's got some little children that go to school, and it's got a scripture on it here. It's got something here concerning the revelation of the Lord as a reminder. And that will do more for a little child than all I can say tonight. Believe it or not, that's true. I know because we deal with them. We've got little children in our school, and we deal with them, and we know how to get their attention, and we know how to reach them as well as the elders. All right, so we're going to take just a minute here, and while we stand here, if the little bitty children would like to come, if the little boys and girls would like to come and get them a pencil tonight, it doesn't cost them anything at all, and it's not out of order. Jesus said, give it, be given unto you. So we want to give you something tonight. We don't want no offerings. We don't want to sell you anything. We just want to give it. We don't ask for no donations. So don't bring us any money, because that's not what we're doing it for. I know a lot of people say, you know, they got gimmicks on the radio, and they say, I'll give you a book if, you know, and I'll give you a record if, and if you'll send me a $50 offering, you can have this book free. That's a pretty expensive book, free, ain't it? So we don't work like that. We don't do those things. The one thing that upset Jesus was when they come into the house of God and made it a place of merchandise. He got up. You don't find him as upset any other place in the scripture as there when he turned over the money tables and drove out the money changers. Is that right? Now, I appreciate your pastor, and I appreciate you giving the way that you did, and his concern for an evangelist. I tell my people back at home that the only way that God will bless the church is for the church to bless the evangelist. And that's true. And we do bless the evangelist. Our people have given away to some, maybe one individual. I know they give about $40,000 or $50,000 to that one individual alone. And they give. I mean, they're working people, but they give. They give automobiles. They just give a car the other day, a nice Buick, to a man over in the islands. They gave another automobile to another missionary in the islands. They gave another automobile to another missionary in the islands, and I don't mean cheap cars, but I'm talking about Cadillacs and Lincolns and Buicks and the finest cars on the market. And they see that it's the best. God said, I'm a great God. Don't bring to me the halt, the lame, and the blind. Give him your best. If you're going to give anybody a pair of slippers, don't go back in the closet and get something you don't want. You take your prized pair of slippers, and that's what you give, or you don't give at all. You take the best dress you got. You take the best food you got, and take the best of everything you got when you go to give to God, and give him the very best. Because remember, you're giving to God. And if you're not giving as unto God, then don't give at all, because you're foolish to give the stuff away. Because God isn't going to give it back to you. But the little children here, if they would, is there any in the little children, would you like to have a pencil? Would you like to come right on, Brother Pice? It's going to take a minute or two here. Would you like to have a pencil? If you'll come on up here, they'll give you a pencil. And some of the grown-ups there, if you would just raise your hand, they'll bring some pencils back to you for your children, that you can give these pencils to your children. And what we'd like to do, we'd like for those little children to write to our children and start a correspondence and create something in your home for God, that they might bring your family into subjection to the Scriptures and pull them away from dope and the things of the world. This we're doing for our children, and we'd like to do it for your children too. You'll just hurry along now, just raise your hand. If you're not interested, it's all right, but if you are, then you're welcome to them. The other day in the bus, we stopped at a store for just a few moments. And while we were there at the store, a bunch of little children ran out. The whole group of little folks that ran out to where we were. And while they were there, my wife and my children, never having done this before, they began to give them pencils. And the little fellers just about had a fit over them. And it so affected the man that run the market, a nice big market, until he said, you know, said you folks could stay right here on my lot all night long. It just thrilled him so much. He was a Jew that just come from the Holy Land, and it got a hold of him so much, he said he wanted to come to this church over here, so you might have a visitor. You know, we're so busy listening to the preacher that we never take time to do anything for God. Did you know that? I said, we're so busy being religious, we don't have any time to do anything for God. Jesus said concerning the little children, the disciples were so busy, they kept saying, get away, get away. He don't have time to bother with you. You know, mothers today, they're so religious, they don't have time to bother with their children. These women preachers, and I might lose some of my congregation tonight, these women preachers are so busy being women preachers until they can't mess with a little child, and they want daddy to bounce him on the knee while they run around and holler that they're called to preach. Now, you might want to see me after service, but I'm going to say this just point blank. God don't call women to preach. God has never called women to preach, and God won't ever call women to preach. God doesn't need to call women to preach. God called men to preach, and he called the woman to guide the house. Now,
praise the Lord.
I didn't lose my congregation, but this next one I know will get it. Amen. You say you're trying to run us off tonight? No, he said it's time to separate the sheep from the goat. Amen. You love me? You got to love me to get to heaven. I'll tell you something else. God didn't call women to work on jobs. I said I'd probably lose my congregation. Some of you laughed and said amen. Some of you men laughed and said amen when I had the first of it. But I noticed you didn't laugh much on the last part. I said, God didn't call women to work on a job. God said, let the woman guide the house. And she can't guide the house working on a job. If these lazy men would get up and go to work, the women would have to work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? I didn't mean to start preaching right off. Amen. You love the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Man told me over the Carolinas, I was preaching about women had no business running around in pants. He said, well, you don't understand. Said, my wife has to work. Said, she has to wear pants. I said, no, that's where the trouble is. She's out of her place to start with. She's in a man's place, so she had to dress like a man.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I actually believe that God let the men let their hair grow out because the women chopped theirs off. I told somebody the other day, I said, I believe God Let the men start wearing beards so you can tell the difference between a man and a woman. I have trouble doing it. I'd be riding down the road. And I say, yonder goes the woman. Now I say, no, that's a man. Now I say, no, that's a woman. And I have spent maybe 30 minutes trying, you know, arguing with myself, saying, well, I finally just give up. And I said, God, I don't know what it is. I don't. And you know what? The world is so mixed up till I just read in the paper where they are issuing license for men to marry men and women to marry women. I guess they're mixed up too. They can't figure out which is which, so it don't matter anymore. You love the Lord?
Amen. Praise God.
The woman said, I just can't stand this long hair. I just can't stand it. I can't manage it. God said, well, cut it off, and I'll let the man grow some, and he'll show you how to manage it. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, God wouldn't tell him to cut it off. God told Balaam to go on, didn't he? He told Balaam to behave himself, and Balaam wouldn't do it. And he told Balaam what he didn't want him to do, and Balaam was determined he was going to do it anyway. And finally, he went over there, and he said, Lord, I just got to do it. Balak's offered me a lot of money. God said, go on, Balaam. Somebody come to me not too long ago, and they wanted to get mixed up in a double marriage. At first, didn't get my congregation, but we'll get to it after a while. They wanted to get mixed up in a double marriage, and they said, Brother Pike, what do you think about it? I said, I think it's wrong. They said, but Brother Pike said, we prayed to God about it, and God said it was all right. I said, he did. I said, he is. Said, don't you believe that he told us that? I said, I sure do. I said, go on, Balaam. I said, God told you in his word what you're to do. And brothers and sisters, that's the only place that God will ever tell you is in his word. He'll never alter it. He'll never change it for me, nor you, nor the angels, or no one else. And when you are determined not to listen to the minister and not to abide by the word, God will say, go on, Balaam. And the first news you know, you've seared your conscience with a hot iron and you're mixed up in a half a dozen marriages and you don't know who your wife is and she don't know who her husband is and the children don't know who daddy and mother is. You love the Lord?
Praise God, amen.
Hallelujah. That's kind of strong meat, ain't it? The Bible said the meat is for the strong. They who have by reason to exercise their senses to be able to discern good and evil. Is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Praise God. All right. Brother Taylor can get the pencils here if he will. I just wanted to do that tonight and see if I could help you just a little bit with your children. If they write, the children will write back with them and correspond with them, and it will prove to be a great blessing. Now, I've held to messages that could do you some good, and even though I'm hoarse tonight, I still want to minister to you for just a few minutes, if you'll let me. And, you know, I would like to say this tonight. There is something tremendously great that is taking place, folks. I'm here by the direct leadership of the Almighty God. From, you know, many years ago, I moved by faith. And I didn't know where I was going, and I didn't know why I was going. I just went because I had faith that the Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so I did it. But then, as Paul of old, I finally came into a place with God to where I learned to move by revelation. Paul said, I went up and visited with Peter by revelation. Abode within 15 days. And finally, I learned to move by spiritual revelation. And tonight, I'm in West Virginia by revelation. And something great and mighty is taking place. That's why we've tarried as long as we have. Would it surprise you to know that it's been a long, 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 long time since I preached more than a three-night revival? That's right. I used to wouldn't preach under a 3 weeks revival. I felt bad if I couldn't preach 3 weeks. And then after I preached so much, I got upset if they asked me to preach over 3 days. Amen. That's the truth. I didn't want to preach over 3 days. Because there's a lot of people to be reached. It's hard on the preacher to preach. How do you know it's hard on a preacher to preach?
Amen.
That's right. He does more damage to his body, according to science, in one sermon than a man will out of 8 hard hours of labor through the day. Is that right? You know, Brother Ernie was talking about having trouble with his children. I don't believe there's anybody that's in any worse a condition than a preacher's boy or girl. That's right. I can say that. See, I'm a preacher. I don't think you'll find anybody that gets in any worse a shape than the preacher's boy or daughter. Seems like they get in the worst shape of all. The devil takes hold of them because he knows that daddy is trying to carry the gospel, and he'll cause them to get just right down in the slop holes of the world to try to reproach that man. That's right. Somebody would say, well, if he was living right, it wouldn't happen. It happened to Abraham, and he lived right.
Yes.
I said, Ishmael tried to bring him to shame. It happened to Jacob, and he lived right. Brother Samuel was the greatest. The Bible said that God never let any of his words fall to the ground. He lived right, but it happened to his sons. Is that right? Job was a perfect man, but it happened to his sons and daughters. So don't blame daddy with it. Don't blame the preacher with it. The devil said, let me smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. He'll do anything he can to bring in an old hypocrite into the church that'll be a thorn in the flesh of the preacher every way that he wants to turn. I said, that hypocrite will have some different idea about everything that takes place. No matter what the preacher wants to do, that old hypocrite, he's about half in and half out. He stands at the door and he won't go in and he won't get out. And he's a thorn in the flesh to the preacher. Now, of course, we probably don't have anybody like that here now. But nevertheless, I'm preaching, you know, to you so you can tell them if you ever see one of them. Everything that the preacher wants to do, he's a thorn in his flesh. You know, it's good when you can get a brother or sister that is willing to listen at the minister and come and sit down and reason with God's man and try to back him up and stand behind him and try to do something for God to help him win souls. Did you know, I don't take any personal offerings. A long time ago, God spoke to my heart. He said, leave it alone, son. He said, the priests love gifts and gifts pervert judgments. Said, stay away from him. I had my tent up down in the valley over in Alabama years ago. And here come a feller in, he wanted to give me an offering. But it just so happened I didn't take offerings. God had already warned me against it. But after the feller wanted to give an offering, the next thing he wanted to do was bring his dog into the tent with him. He had a little old dog, you know. People are silly. My daddy used to say that the people are going to the dogs, and I believe it, because they got dogs, and they'll patter their nose, and they'll shine their toenails, and they'll put clothes on that dog, and somebody else will go hungry, starve to death. Some little child will go naked out in the cold, and they'll cuddle that dog. And I found out he wanted to bring the dog in the tent. I said, you can't bring no dog into my tent. I said, now, I'm just as congenial as I know how to be. I said, there's my home. You can take him into my home. I don't like to take dogs in the house. But before I let you bring him in the house of God, I said, take him in my house over there. I said, you're not going to bring him in the house of God. The Bible says, don't even bring the price of a dog in the house of God. You follow what I say? And you people, I'm just talking to you now. You people that try to give an offering to the minister so that you can get your finger on him or get your collar around his neck to make him do everything that you want him to do or to compromise with sin, God's going to set your fields on fire. Is that right? The Bible said to give expecting nothing in return. Is that right? Don't expect him to do anything. His old brother Red used to say, after you give your offering, expect that minister to bust your hide good.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. You that give the biggest offering, sometimes you need your hide busted the most. Somebody said, well, where do you get that? Because if you'd been given to God like you ought to, you wouldn't have had a bigger offering to give. Somebody would say, but my neighbor does it. If your neighbor has no promise of eternal securities, he better do it. The Bible said when God rejects you, lets you make to yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon that they might receive into everlasting habitation when God rejects you. They better lay up something because that's all they got. But you people that have eternal life, eternal promises of security, you've got no business laying up things in the bank. The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing to put in the bank. I said, it said he had nothing left over, that he that gathered little had no lack. But rather that your abundance might supply the lack of that that didn't gather much. Did you know I've got some missionaries down in Mexico and they don't gather much? I said, they don't have much to give them down there. They have to do without. I've known my missionary down there at time to have to eat cactus. They don't gather much. But they do more than the church does on the home front. So then if we gather much on the home front, then we ought to supply the lack of those that did not gather much in the field. Is that right? Amen. That they should not go lacking. Somebody said, well, I would give if I saw a need. My brother, there's needs on every corner. Now, I don't mean that you ought to go out here passing out dollar bills, because people in the world, they always want something. I said, they've always got a need if it ain't nothing but for a bottle of booze. They've got a need. If they got one pair of shoes, they feel like they need another pair. And I'm not talking about giving to people that say they've got needs. But I'm talking about finding the poor, the hungry, and the needy, and sharing with them. There's a boy sitting in here tonight. He's got a terrible spirit. And God's going to tear his hide up if he don't simmer down and get it straightened out. And God won't be long about doing it. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. All right? Now, I'm just talking to you now. I preach to you about every night. And I'm talking to you. But I want to say a few things tonight. And if you want to see me at the service, I'm available. Hallelujah. Somebody said, are you expecting us to give you an offering, either an offering or a whipping? I've had them to want to do both. You love the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. We are a target to be shot at. All right, I want to read to you just a little bit tonight. Over in St. Matthew's chapter 8, and there's a few things I'd like to make mention of toward the close of my message, if the Lord allows me to do it. If he doesn't, well, we'll just go on from there. But if he does, well, we'll make mention of it. I want to say again, I appreciate you. I love you. We're not trying to hurt you, but we're trying to help you. And if you'll listen very carefully, give the more earnest heed to the things you hear, lest at any time you should let them slip, then God will help you. All right? Turn over to chapter 8, the book of St. Matthew's, and let's read. I know that you're pressed with necessity, and some of you have to go to the restroom, and some of you have to leave, and all kind of things. But don't do it unless it's necessary. Chapter 8, St. Matthew's. I want to start here at the 13th verse. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be it done unto thee. His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him, and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tomb exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. That's reading quite a bit of scripture here. Jesus said here in the 26th verse, He saith unto them, And why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? You know, if there ever was a time in the history of the world that people need to get a hold of God, it's now. If there ever was an hour when people need to get faith in God, it's now. Now, look, folks, do you know that faith in God is faith in the Word? Do you know that you can say that you've got faith all day long, but unless you believe the Word, you don't have faith? Because faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. It doesn't matter what you believe in your intellectual reasoning. It doesn't matter what you conceive in your intelligence. It doesn't matter what your religious background was. That has nothing to do with faith. A lot of people would say, Brother Pike, you believe this and I believe that. That has nothing to do with it. You depart from some of the churches and somebody will say, you've departed from the faith. But I want you to know tonight that when you depart from the Word, then you've departed from the faith of God. And until you do depart from the Word, you've not departed from the faith. You can leave every church in Huntington tonight, but you've not departed from the faith. But my brother, when you turn away from the Word of God, then you've departed from the faith. The Bible said in the last days some shall depart from the faith, Brother Ernie, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has made to be received with them that know and believe the truth. Is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord, say amen. Jesus wanted to teach him a lesson of faith. What we need to do is to have a lesson of faith. You know, I would love to be a minister like Jesus. I said the other night, Jesus would just go down to the seashore. Go down, find a little boat, sit down in the boat. And they take the boat and shove out from shore. And there, to keep the multitudes from throwing him, all he would do is sit there and expound the Word of God. And the Bible said he would teach the people. Is that right? Jesus would sit down and begin to teach the people faith. And they said on one occasion, as they walked along the road of Emmaus, they said, Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened our understanding by the way? Amen. Did you know that when the Holy Ghost begins to move, and the Spirit of God begins to move, that something on the inside of you begins to burn like a fire and turn over like a little wheel. Hallelujah! And something begins to take place down in your innermost being, and rivers of living water begins to flow out of your innermost being. Hallelujah! God is trying to teach you faith. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I don't feel like I need faith. But my little boy David tonight, he was trying to tell you what's fixing to come on the world. How that the communistic people took those things and stuck it into the ears of a little boy while he begged and pleaded for somebody to help him. and how he went into convulsions and began to vomit up blood. And blood began to run out of his nose, and blood began to run out of his ears as they stood there and saw the horribleness of it, and nobody could do anything about it. The fat, gluttonous bunch of Gentiles, the licentious people that had frolicked and sat around and watched the evil things on television and spent their time out at ball games and frolicking on the beach and doing the evil things of concupiscence of the world. God is about to pour out his wrath upon the fattest part of them and slay them with a sword. Hallelujah. Something is coming your way, Gentile folks. I said the wrath of God's coming your way. Some of these people that come and sit in the church that don't have time to be holy. The Bible said take time to be holy. They don't have time to be holy. They don't have time to listen. They're unconcerned about the Word of God. They can't pay any attention. Their mind's in the slop hole of the world. God's fixing to set your fields on fire. The Bible said after the sow's washed, she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. After the dog vomits up his vomit, he'll go back and start lapping his own vomit, Jesus said. He called them a generation of vipers, and as John stood by the river and began to baptize, he said, you generation of vipers. He said, here's warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come. He said, bring forth some fruits that's meet for repentance, and say not to yourself that you have Abraham unto your father, that God's able to raise up of these stones children unto Abraham that will praise God. The Gentile folks has been a bunch of selfish, religious, unconcerned people. The last warning that God gave them, it was the Laodicean age. And the word Laodicea means people's rights. The Negro man running around showing himself, hollering about his rights, his rights, his rights. The woman running around hollering about her rights. Junior with his little beard running around hollering about his rights. Amen. A bunch of teenagers, a bunch of hippies, a bunch of dope addicts running around hollering about their rights, saying, let's everybody do our own thing. I'll tell you what your thing is. Your thing is to sizzle in the flames of hell. That's what your thing is. You go ahead and do your own thing. You go ahead and try to turn the world into hippies. You go ahead and destroy the morals of mankind. God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. You destroy the virtues of a young lady and watch God destroy you in hell. You take that smooth serpent tongue of yours and you go out there and talk to somebody and you cause them to become a dope addict, and God will burn your flesh in the flames of hell. Somebody said, we got it figured out. There ain't no eternal hell. I said, somebody said, we've got it figured out. There's no eternal hell. That was figured out before you ever figured it out. Hallelujah. The Bible said the rich man lifted up in his eyes in hell. Somebody said, but that's the grave. But the rich man said, I'm tormented by the flames. Hallelujah. I never seen a grave filled with flames, have you? He said, I'm tormented in these flames. And he said, give me a drop of water to cool my parching tongue. Hallelujah. Down there in the flames of hell. I know that hell is not eternal. I know that hell is not eternal. Because the Bible said that hell delivered up its dead. Is that right? It said hell delivered up its dead. Hell is a temporary punishment until God can transfer you over to the lake of fire. Hallelujah. And paradise is a temporary rest until God can transfer you over to heaven, folks. And the Bible said that the hell, the grave, and hell, and the sea, they delivered up the dead that was in them. But the Bible said they were cast into the lake of fire. Hell came to an end, and hell was cast into the lake of fire. That was the end of hell, is that right? You know why? Because God never prepared hell for people. He prepared it in the time of his anger for the devil and his angels. But the Bible said, hail from beneath hath moved for to meet thee at thy coming, and enlarged itself without measure because of the sin of the people. Is that right? Listen, folks, did you know that scientists have discovered that there is a ball of fire in the heart of the earth, and that ball of fire is melting down the cave around it, and that it's enlarging itself without measure, and it's coming forth to envelop the world. Hell was cast into the lake of fire. Somebody said, well, that makes me know, Brother Pike, that there's no such thing as eternal fire. But you didn't read far enough. The Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept, and in the writings of Jude, in the writings of the New Testament, this writer said that God would bring forth the eternal flames. The Bible said eternal flames. Somebody said, I know that God said we'd burn forever and ever, but forever and ever means spaces of time. I know that comes from the Greek word eon, which means spaces of time. It said Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever, but he was only there for just 2 or 3 days. Is that right? And that's where they get it. But I know you can speak the word away when you say forever. But brother, there's one thing you can't speak away, and that's the word eternal. If the word eternal don't mean eternal, then you don't have eternal life. When God said eternal life, he meant eternal life. When God said eternal flames, he meant eternal flames.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I said you're heading for some sad times, folks. Did you know a great man by the name of William Branham saw about 5 to 7 visions way back in the year 33? And did you know that every one of them has come to pass just exactly like he saw it, right down the line, except the last two? And one of them's in the makings now. And did you know that the last vision that he saw, he said he saw the calendar turn to the year of 77, and the calendar stopped, and he said he looked and the world was in a heap of ashes. Oh, that is the United States. Said the United States had been blown to bits and she was in a heap of ashes. Somebody said, I don't believe it's coming to pass, but the other visions came to pass, he had. Ever since the year of 33, they watched him and it came to pass. Did you know that if he is right? Did you know that that means that this year is the last year that you've got if it comes at the first of 77? That means that you've got 1 year between what you've got now and the year 77 to do something for God. And you keep saying that you're laying up for a rainy day. You keep saying, I'm going to do something for God. But my brother, if you're ever going to do something for God, you'd better stir yourself up in God and get started. Because it's a late hour, it's a late day. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said it's not time to build the house of God. The Bible said they say it's not time to build the house of God, but to let the house of God lay waste. And every man runs to his own house. Is that right? They let the house of God lay waste, and every man runs to his own house. But, brother, I want you to know it's time to build the house of God. It's time the people of West Virginia woke up. It's time that you gather into the sanctuary of God. It's time that those reckless, worthless children of the preacher get straightened out and come to God.
Yeah. Right,
amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Somebody said, I'll see you after service. I'll be waiting on you. Hallelujah. I said it's time that the worthless children of the preacher got stirred up. Amen. The worthless children back there in the days of Eli sat at the door, and when the saints of God came in, they took that belonged to the priest, and they robbed and they stole until God got enough of it and God got stirred up. And God cut them down and God killed the preacher and killed his children and killed all of them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You people of West Virginia, flood this church. Go out into the highways and hedges and tell them to come in. Oh, listen to me, folks. I made a prediction not too long ago that the Pope of Rome would join ranks
with the communistic leader. I said, and when they do, they'll fulfill the prophecy of Daniel, where it said that the clay and the iron wouldn't mix together. Amen. Each one of them being deceitful, trying to deceive the other. Just the other day, this great leader, they took him out of office because he was anti-communist. And the paper stated, and I got the clippings on it, where they took him out of office and the Pope wanted fellowship with the leader of Russia. What does that mean, folks? There never was a cruel regime that the world ever knew than the papacy of Rome. Is that right? In A.D. 64, when they split up and the Greek Orthodox went one way and Western Papal Rome went another way. From that time, she set up her evil doings and she shook the world with her evil. I said she stood over the world with a rod of iron, and the blood of the martyrs has run because of her evil ways. Abraham, a great man that God raised up in a presidency, he said that he would never let him rule. But you let him rule. He said he'd never let him rule when they fled from the old country and come over here. Amen. To set up some kind of freedom to get away from them that had hampered them down with taxes and took what they had. And now you turned around and you went right back under the same idolatrous practice, under the same Roman power, under the same evil. I made the statement while I was preaching out in Hollywood, California, not too long ago, that by the year 66, that the papacy of Rome would come to the United States, and the United States would go into darkness, and they would turn Catholic. Never in the history of the world had we ever had a Catholic leader till you put Kennedy in. It's been nothing but a mess since he got in. Amen. His daddy was known to be the one. Joseph was known to be the one that imported the whiskey and the wine that made America drunk. And as far as we know, Roosevelt agreed to pay him money on every bit he brought in. Roosevelt, which was a great president, done a lot for the country, but at the same time he tore the nation apart. For he invited every foreign nation in the world into the United States, and now she's a modern Babylon. You don't know what to do. Amen. In our own little old city, if you back out into the street, they fine you for it. But you can go uptown in every parking place you get. You have to back out in front of the cars. A Babylon, a mixed up thing. They lie some whiskey so that your boy and my boy can buy it, so they can get the taxes off of it. And then they take them and they put them in jail to get more money off of them. Hallelujah. I said it's separation time, the sheep from the goats. Hallelujah. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
The Bible said the wicked can't set in the congregation of righteous. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, I believe it like it says it in the book.
Yes.
Somebody said, Brother Pike, you better watch out. I am. The Bible said, watch and pray, and I'm watching all the time. Hallelujah. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I said, God's trying to help you tonight. God's trying to stay up and wake you up. Somebody said, ain't you afraid you'll run somebody off? Said, I've not lost the one except the son of perdition. God said, Father, I've not lost a one of them. Every one that you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last day. Only Judas was lost.
Yeah.
Brother, there ain't no need to try to save him anyway.
Right.
The Bible said before he was ever born, let another his bishopric take. And the Bible said he went to his own place. Is that right?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes that's your children. Sometimes that's my children. Sometimes that's somebody else's children. Hallelujah. One of the meanest gangsters in the world. One of the very meanest, the most notorious, that had the biggest name, Dillinger. John Dillinger, a murderer, had a preacher for a daddy. And the man had enough guts to stand up when they brought Dillinger to him and said, he's not my son. I admire the Jews for that. Hallelujah. When they get out of line with the Jews, they have a little funeral. It's an empty casket, but they disown them. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're too strict. But Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Somebody said, I want to go bury my dead mother. My dead daddy. I love my old dad. I believe he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. And I believe people that you meet will tell you that that's been around him. But I was down in Mexico preaching the gospel. They sent me word and they said, George said, you've got to get here. Said, your daddy's strangling to death with blood. Said he won't live. Said, you've got to get the quickest way home. I went and prayed and God said, preach the gospel. I went in the back room and I wept before God and I prayed because I had a real dad. My dad told him, said, ain't no need to send for him. Said he won't come home till God tells him to come home. And I preached the gospel and the church filled up. And people ran to the altar. The whole place was filled with people crying and weeping before God. And the Spirit of God was moving so that I cried through the entire service of praying for the sick. Hallelujah. Under the anointing of God and had to push my way out. I preached and I stayed there the day or two that God commanded me to stay there. The Lord said, don't worry, son. You preach the gospel. Daddy will be alive when you get home. Hallelujah. They said he can't live. Said he won't live through the night. Said he's hemorrhaging and he won't live. I said, I'll just pray and believe God. After I got through, I told him, I said, make reservations on the plane. And when we finish what God's got to do, we'll go home. We finished it and we caught the plane home. Flew home. When we got there, God still had Daddy alive. I went into the hospital and I sat down on the bed and I prayed for my daddy and he raised up. I knew my daddy was going to die. There's some sitting right here that'll tell you that I predicted his death before it come because of Revelation and what it showed while daddy was still up going. Amen. Told him about when it would happen. It happened within a few days of what I said. Now, but I went in and God, there was my daddy. God took hold of that little old daddy and God made him sit up on the side of the bed. Laugh and talk with my wife. I took the razor and shaved him and we had some good fellowship. And the nurse came in and said, I'll tell you one thing. She said, if I didn't know better, I'd say that miracles still happen. Amen. My daddy had good fellowship with me. My daddy stopped hemorrhaging. I left him that night and went home and come back the next day and my daddy was dead. God kept his word, didn't he? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said he's strict. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Folks, we got to come under subjection to God. Bring every thought into subjection, obedience to the Word. Is that right? When they was on that little boat going over to the other side, they got afraid and they started to wake Jesus up. And they come over there and they said, Lord, wake up. Wake up, Lord, said something's about to happen. I'll tell you something's about to happen to America. You better go wake Jesus. Somebody preached a sermon one time, go wake Jesus. I'll tell you what, it's time to wake Jesus. They've got a song that somebody's got to take a hand and lead us through. Amen. They went back there and they shook him. No doubt they said, Lord, carest thou not if we perish? Jesus rose up, walked out there, a great man of God, that lonely Galilean, walked out there on board the ship and looked up at those storm clouds, and he said to them, he said, peace, hallelujah. He looked down at the roaring waves that they beat against the boat, and he said, you be still. Amen. The Bible said a great calm came. He turned around to him and he said, oh, ye of little faith. Sons of God, why did you need to wake me? You could have done the same thing, Peter. Oh, wasn't long after that before Peter, he got his courage up. Wasn't long, and one day Jesus walked out in the water, and Jesus said, Peter, come over here. Hallelujah. Peter had remembered a lot of things, and he jumped out on the water and he began to walk on the water because he had faith in God. I said he had faith in God. Folks, you need to get faith in God tonight. You need to get faith in the Word tonight. Did you know not too long ago, a Russian Jew came to me and he began to talk with me and we took his testimony. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, did you know that my dad was the richest man among 6 million men in Russia? He said, did you know that I one time was a helpless cripple? That I could not get up. I had to slide across the floor. He said, I was such an invalid, I was in such a condition that I had to slide myself across the floor. And he said, one day, said a couple of Assembly of God missionaries had gotten over into our country and said they'd gotten hungry. And said we looked out in the flower garden and we found them eating flowers. They were so hungry, he said they were out there in the flower garden and said they were eating flowers. He said, my mother, being very compassionate, wrestled with my dad till he allowed her to bring them in. Said those missionaries came in and mom set them down at the table. And said they would look across at me in the morning, being a little afflicted fellow like I was. And said the lady especially would begin to tell me about the love of Jesus and how that Jesus wanted me healed. And he said, you know, he said, I got to believe in that. Said I got to thinking there was something to it. And I got to believe in it. And said we lived in a great big mansion. And he said at night, said it had these great big meetings. And Dad had to yield to communists. And the great communist leaders would come in there. And when those communist leaders would get behind the closed doors, he said, I would slide along on the floor and get over there to the big doors. And I would lay there at the big doors. And I'd hear the plans of what they were going to do. And he said it was way over in the night. One night they went way over in the night and over in the morning. He said, I was still a helpless cripple. He said, I slid my way out of my rooms, that I slipped over to the big doors, and said, I heard the plans, and said, that I began to call on God. And he said, Brother Pike, the power of God came down upon me. And he said, though I was a hopeless cripple, he said, my hands straightened out. He said, my legs straightened out, and the power of God lifted me up. Hallelujah. He said, I stand here before you today, perfectly whole, and he was. He said, my daddy had taken me to the very best medical profession in Russia. He said he had offered thousands upon thousands of dollars to anybody that could help me. He said, I wanted to see my daddy get this and my daddy saved. He said he got back to his room and said then after a while, said he knew better than to interrupt his daddy. After a while, said his daddy came into the room and said when his daddy saw him, said it was more than his daddy could take as he stood there and testified and told him about the power of God. And said, he said, son, he said, God did that for you. He said, I'm ready to give up this Russian thing, this communistic thing, and take my chance with Christ.
Hallelujah.
And he told me, he said, the last time I saw my daddy, he said, they stood him before the machine guns. And I heard the sound of the gun as my daddy went out. Said he'd already put his eyes out and put my mom's eyes out and had him standing before the guns. And he said he took me off at a distance, put me under cold ice water in zero weather and began to let it run over my body. And he said my old blinded dad cried out and said, Johnny boy, said, don't ever quit serving Jesus. And said he heard the guns roar as daddy and mama fell. And said the last words, he said, Johnny boy, don't ever give up Jesus. Hallelujah. He stood and he told me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I saw it. Said he spent 36 hours praying in a graveyard trying to escape. He said, I saw him. Said they run, took wires and run it through people's hands. Said they lined up a line of men and they stuck wires from one hand to another, linked them together. He said, and then they dug a trench. And then they put him down in the trench. And then they covered him up with dirt up to their head. And said, then they called for the Caesars that rode the horses and called to them as they trampled their brains out in a mad rush. Johnny Lee said, I never knew that a man's tongue was long enough to nail to the floor. He said, but they fastened things in men's tongues and pulled them out long enough they got their head to the floor and nailed their tongue to the floor. And they strangled to death on their own blood. Horrible things. He said, I saw them take little children out of mother's arms and I saw them go away with them. I saw them come back in a minute with a head full of platters. Said they put them in cages and even some of the little children refused to bow down. He said, I saw them line them up. He said, as they lined them up, they put a pot of oil on this side and a hot burning pot on the other side. He said, they put a picture of Stalin up here and they put a picture of Jesus. He said, and they run them through like a herd of cattle. And so they told them as they started through, said, every man that will turn over here to worship Stalin said, we'll let you go free. But every man that holds to this Christ said, you're going off into that vat of oil. He said, to start with, the people were scared. He said, they were shook up. He said, but after a while, something happened to the people, and to the people took courage, and they began to sing the song, I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than the snow. He said, and I saw thousands upon thousands, and not one of them yield. Said, every one of them would walk up that ramp, and they'd look over there towards Stalin's picture, and they'd turn away from it, and they'd turn back to Jesus, and they'd say, I believe that Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than the snow. And he said, I saw them go off in the hot pots of oil that took the flesh off of their bones. Mean people. Did you know that they made a prediction, Brother Ernie, that it's by this year. They said that the 0 hour was about July of this year. And they predicted many years ago that by July of this year that they would take America and not fire shot. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Did you know that history shows that never in the history of all of mankind has there ever been a government that ever stood over 200 years? And did you know that July of next year, not this one, but July of next year means that we've had 200 years of capitalistic government, that something has got to happen? Isn't it a true fact that they fled from the old country to get away from taxes? But did you know that statistics show today that no nation in the history of the world has ever been taxed as high as America's tax and ever survived the crisis? Where are you living, folks? I heard that Jew as the little babies cried. The men cried. And the women cried as he gave his testimony. I heard him. He said, Americans, he said, let me tell you something. He said, you've got your money now. He said, you've got your prestige now. He said, you've got your homes now. He said, you've got everything that you need now. He said, but Russia is coming. Communists is coming. He said, Russia was a free nation, and overnight, he said, they took over and the radios began to blast out that you're now under the power of communism, and by night, 6 million people, I believe he said, lay dead. Now, that means they've already taken over. Did you know that the Roman Catholic powers had already bought up the biggest newspaper operations in the world? The news meters are gone. They're buying up the television stations and the radio stations. Is that right? Because the Bible said you're going under the mark of the beast. When you talk about the mark of the beast being way out yonder, somebody don't mind. But I want you to know it's right now at your door. Folks, you don't understand. I said that America would go Catholic in the year of 66. Did you know the Pope of Rome came over? Pope Paul VI, coming in the year of 66, 666. And did you know that when he came over, there was a great blackout in New York that swept all over the nation? It relayed. Even little cities felt the impacts of it. Why? God let you know that the light had gone out and darkness had moved in. When your capitalistic light, your Protestant light went out with your last president, my brother, then the powers of Catholicism moved in. Let me tell you something now. In this kind of church that you're in, I am in, this concerns you. In this kind of thing. A lot of people say, well, I think you ought to preach the gospel and stay out of politics. That's what's wrong with you now. I said, that's what's wrong with you now. You better wake up. Hallelujah. You better wake up. Did you know the kings of old came to the prophets to learn what to do? That God's always governed the nation. That's what's the trouble now. Did you know that Protestant people, and I want you to listen to this now, Protestant people believe in separation of church and state. Is that right? That means that the state can come in and do whatever they want to with the church, and they're doing it. Talking about taxing it. Talking about doing everything they can to it. Is that right? Billy James Hargis, one just crying out over the radios against communist power, said not too long ago in Washington, the official said, get something on Billy James Hargis. Do something, get something on him. We don't care what you get as long as you get something. Separation of church and state. That means they can do whatever they want to us. But did you know what the Catholics do? The Catholics believe in church over state. That means a state can't mess with nothing they've got. When the Catholics rose up and they said, get the Bible out of the schools, that was a communistic trick and a Catholic trick. They said, get the Bibles out of the school. And since then, our children's turned into a bunch of beatniks. Is that right? Why did they tell them to do that? Rome wanted to see and make sure that our people was a bunch of spiritual ignoramuses that didn't know nothing about God. So that when the Catholic movement, the beast come in, they could dominate them and come in and tell them any kind of rubbish and they'd have to believe it because they don't know anything about God to start with. Make a priesthood. Let them come and pay the priest. Is that right? The old Babylonian system. Are you listening? If we had time, I'd prove it. That's where it come from. But look at them. In the monasteries of the day, it's a proven fact that the priests have taken up time with the monks. And little children have been born. And they've got acid pool where they dropped them down in the acid pool. And some of the women declare that they have an initiation to where they force them to drink corruption. As an initiation. Are you listening? But can the authorities go in there and do anything? The authorities can come into your church. But the authorities can't go into their church. They can do what they want to because they got church overstay. Is that right? They say, what are you trying to tell me tonight, Brother Pike? Listen real close. I'm trying to tell you that the same mother harlot, the same great whore that sat upon many waters that John saw is right on your trail tonight and standing at your door. And all of these denominational moves of the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and some of the Pentecostal churches are nothing but harlots, daughters of the great whore. What is a whore? Somebody that won't take her husband's name. Somebody that won't hold it up. Is that right? The Bible said they're bastard children because they're born without a name. I said it said they're bastard children without they're born without a name. When you're born to the water and you're born to the Spirit, you got to come through the name of Jesus. Otherwise, you'll have a church name that you live and yet you're dead. Laodicea, lukewarm, twice dead and plucked up by the roots, saying that she's rich with the great cathedrals. And yet the Bible says she knows not that she's blind and wretched and naked. Are you listening? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Listen just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. Folks, the day of good times is over. You've enjoyed sin for a season. Now you've got a burning hell for it. But the Bible said Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season. Is that right? For he considered the recompense of reward being so much greater than the riches and treasures of Egypt. Jesus endured the shame of the cross, despising the shame there for the joys that were set before him. Are you listening? Lady, I'm talking to you too. Some of you women folk, you feel like you don't have to listen. You feel like you don't have to know about it. That's why we got so many women preachers running around. They won't listen to the gospel. They won't listen to nothing nobody tells them. They won't pay attention to the husband. Right. Amen. Stiff-necked, starchy. Stephen said, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, you do always err, even as your fathers did, by resisting the Holy Ghost. So do you. They got upset and they got him, grabbed him some stones and began to beat his brains out. Is that right? Jesus said, I never sent you a wise man or a prophet, what you didn't kill him. The Bible said they stoned him to death with the word, said they set to shoot at the upright in heart with their tongue like arrows and whet their tongues like arrows. Is that right? Folks, let me tell you, this is a serious time. I sat in on Congress the other day. Me and my wife went up to Washington and sat in on Congress. And I saw a bunch of senators sit there and argue over a silly seat belt when the world was dying and going to hell and when Russia was closing in on us. And they were having a jolly gesture over a seat belt. Like a bunch of children. The Bible said, I've given women to rule over you and children to be thine oppressors. Is that right? Today, who's oppressing you? It's the beatniks. It's your children. They're about to oppress the life out of you. Said, because you didn't love the truth, the beginning of sorrows. Is that right? Distress of nation. Perplexities. Bewilderments. Is that right? Diseases. Said no man would save you in that day. There's no remedy. You've sinned till there's no remedy. Is that right? Women rule over you. Children are thine oppressors. Come on, say amen. I've seen some women folks, they've come to me. And they said, Brother Pike, I wish my husband would be a man and rise up and tell me what I ought to do and ought not to do. You know, women love to boss you. Come on, ladies, listen. I said, women love to boss you. But you know, a woman don't really want to boss you. She wants a man that's masculine. She wants somebody that's strong enough to put her in her place so she can lean on his broad arms and shoulders. Hallelujah. I know you say, how do you know? Because I didn't have them to tell me. Amen. They said, I wish my husband would be a man. Said, he won't tell me nothing. Said, I just tell him just what I think. And he just says, yes, all right, honey. Hallelujah. You love the Lord?
Amen.
What you need to do is be a real man. I don't mean abuse your wife. Love your wife. A wife's a good thing. The Bible said, you got a wife, you got a good thing. But now I'm talking about a woman, I'm talking about a wife. All right. You love the Lord? I want you to stand with me. I just begun to scratch the surface. But I know, though you've been a good audience and you've listened, and I kept you a little lengthy anyway, you've been a good audience, a real good audience. God bless your precious hearts. The Bible said, I'll bless them that you bless and curse them that you curse. So, tonight you've been a good audience, and I feel like God's going to bless you. I want to go away leaving a blessing. Folks, I went away from a number of churches. Big, big, big churches. Buildings that you could set numbers of these in one of them. And God said, I'm going to close it up. It's rotten to the core. I went back and God closed it up and they were tearing the buildings down. But I want to see a work in West Virginia. I want to see God bless. I don't want to see earthquakes and tornadoes sweep through and tear up the land. You know it's pitiful, don't you? I just heard the other day, remember preaching over in Nebraska years ago, a lot of precious people there, but they wouldn't listen. And I heard the other day that a tornado ripped up 500 homes. Just ripped it up. Went down the street. Ripped it up. Tore it up. Folks, it's perilous times. The beginning of sorrows and heartaches. I tell you the truth, and Paul said, am I becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? A lot of times it stings, and the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. But next week, next month, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. You know, someday when cancer starts eating you up, when you start having a heart attack, when you go to the hospital, then, my brother and sister, and you can't get in touch with God, then you look away and you begin to call on God. Then you remember the old preacher and you say, yes, I remember the old preacher was right. He did tell me the truth. Some religions will do to live by but not die by. And when he pressed the dying pillar, when you lay down there and you're going to press the dying pillar, then all of a sudden you'll remember and you'll say, yes. Yes, that's right. Preacher, you told me the truth. Praise God. I got something I can get a hold of. When you start, I feel Jesus, don't you? I said, this religion will do to die by here. Amen. This kind of religion will take you over right here. Hallelujah. Like Brother Branham's wife. When Brother Branham's wife was dying, she looked up at him. She had been a Baptist girl, but she got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a lot of good people that got filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of Baptist people. I got Methodist friends, people that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I got a number of Baptist preachers, Daniel, that are full of the Holy Ghost. Good folks. Hallelujah. She looked up at Billy, and she said, Brother Billy Branham, she said, honey, don't ever stop preaching this Holy Ghost gospel. She was dying. She said, Billy, it's that Holy Ghost that's taking me over. Said, he's taking me over, Billy. Said, don't ever stop preaching that. Folks, don't you want the Holy Ghost? Oh, what a friend. I feel the Holy Ghost. I really feel the Holy Ghost tonight. What a friend, what a friend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The wonderful presence of God. That great eternal Spirit. Hallelujah. We sang that song, what a day that shall be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When I take him by the hand, hallelujah, he'll lead me over into that promised land. What a day, what a day. That's me. You love him tonight? Don't you want the Holy Ghost? Don't you want the Holy Ghost? We're going to sing a little chorus together. And while we sing a little chorus together, I want you to listen. If I tell you the truth, you're going to love me. I said, you're going to love me. Hallelujah. You say, how do you know, brother preacher? Because people are tired of folks lying to them. I'll tell you what. You lie to a man to get a hold of his pocketbook. Folks are tired of that. You know, we treat people like they're a bunch of morons. Is that right? Don't you know that that man's got enough sense to know what you're trying to do? Somebody said, but he still gives me his money. Sure he will. He'll give it to you, but he'll never respect you as a man of God. Amen. I know what I'm speaking of. Over in the state of Nebraska, there I had a young evangelist. Now listen. From one of the seminaries to come in and run your revival. Outstanding preacher. One of the great movements. Come in to run your revival. I've been working hard to try to get a man in the church. There in the state of Nebraska. Have this young preacher to come in and begin to compromise with this man. This man kept saying, come over, watch television programs with me. So he went over and watched television programs. I know there's some decent ones. Very few of them, ain't there? So he went over. So the man wanted him to do something else. He'd done that too. And I asked him, I said, preacher, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to win that man to God. You know, we're so interested in getting the doctor, the lawyer, and the Indian chief. We're so interested in winning them over until before we realize that they didn't want us over. I said, we are in the same place they're in, and we still think we're winning them, and all the time we've already moved over to their territory. Is that right? Come on. I've seen the judge cry. I've seen the doctor. I've been in the dentist's office when he'd lift their hands and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I praise God, being full of the Holy Ghost and talking tongues. But not many mighty are called. Are you listening? One day something happened, and this man got a little upset at the preacher. And I said, he started saying some things. Now listen, he started saying some things, Brother Ernie. And I told him, I said, wait a minute. I said, you can't talk about a preacher like that. Bible said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't ever even grieve the minister. Said, it's not profitable for you to even grieve him. If you turn and went out of the church tonight and you grieve me, woe be unto you. Not because I'd want it to be, but because God said it. Don't ever grieve him. You don't do anything to grieve him. He's God's minister to execute judgment upon him that do evil. I said, don't, whatever you do. I said, don't say that about a man of God. Now listen. He said, a man of God. He told me, he said, Brother Pike, I got respect for you. He said, but what I do, he does. Where I want to go, he goes. Said, he ain't no man of God. Said, I ain't worried about that. So you see how he was winning. You see how he was winning. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If I tell you the truth, it might be sore a little bit. Take a doctor, he starts operating on you, it might be sore a little bit. Is that right? And you might get sore at me a little bit. But after a while, when you heal up and you're healthy and strong, you'll say, that old preacher wasn't too bad after all, was he? Hallelujah. Get that old rotten cancer out of you, that old spiritual decay out of you, that old demon of lust, and you feel whole and happy again. Everything's gone. You don't feel under a weight, but you feel full of exhilaration and inspiration again. Why, you say, that doctor wasn't too bad. I may go back the next time. Is that right? So then you're not fooling people. People know what you're doing. But I love you tonight, folks. I come to West Virginia to tell you the truth. I come to tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I love you. That's all it came for. You love me? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. That's all right. If these ladies has got to go, that's all right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Can you sing it with me? Hear my humble cry, while
Let's drop it down a little, sister. Let me at the throne of mercy find the sweet relief, while kneeling there in deep contrition. Lord, help my unbelief. Now, while we sing this, I'd like for you to gather around the altar for just a few moments tonight. Every one of you, sinner, saint alive. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're a sinner tonight, you deserve. God is deserving of your praise tonight. Everything that hath breath, it don't make no difference. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're a sinner, you owe God some praise tonight. If you've got breath, you should praise Him tonight. I want you to praise God tonight. I want you to gather around the altar for just a minute tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody, come on. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. I might not never meet you anymore on the side of eternity. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? The Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. It's like the oil that run down Aaron's beard. I feel God tonight. I feel God tonight. I want us to take a minute or two tonight just to rededicate ourselves. Will you? Just a moment to rededicate ourselves. You love the Lord. Brother Moses, come up here, brother, and stand with us. Come on, brother. Come on and stand with us. Hallelujah. Like for the wife, too, if she will. Just come on up and stand with us. You love the Lord. Brother Moses, a fine man. I had a chance to talk with him today. He and I had some good fellowship. Hallelujah. Don't you want to go to heaven, folks? Don't you want to go? Listen, some of you are aged people here. Now that don't mean you're going to die before the young ones. The Bible said in the last days young men's hearts would fail. And young men are having heart attacks now. Is that right? You know, come to think of it, I believe Brother Moses told me today he'd had 5 heart attacks. Others here that's had heart attacks. But some of you aged folks, you know you're going to cross over now, don't you? Don't you? Mama did and Daddy did. Grandmother did. You know you've got to make the crossing, don't you? But it is sweet to know that a Christian never dies. Amen. Jesus said Lazarus is just asleep. Hallelujah. You know, to die, you got to sin the soul. When the soul sins, then you're dead, my brother. You go out of the presence of God. But when you got God in your heart, all you do is just get weary and tired of this body, and the body yields up the spirit. And the Bible said, for the spirit to be absent from the body, it's to be with God. Is that right? Your spirit just departs this little tabernacle. They take it out somewhere and lay it down the clay. But your spirit is over yonder. Somebody said, can you prove it? The Bible said Abraham was over there. Oh, Brother Abraham, they put his body in a tomb. I tell you, folks, some of you ain't but one breath away from the flames of hell. Just one breath away from the flames of hell. Just one breath. And some of you ain't that far away from the kingdom of God. Some of you got the Holy Ghost. And listen, did you know that when your spirit had already intermingled with the Holy Spirit, now listen real close and this will give you some consolation. Take a glass of water, set it up here. Take some Clorox and put it in the water, intermingle it, and it's all just one glass of water. Is that right? When the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, it intermingles with your spirit and its spirit becomes one. Did you know that that means from then on you are eternal? Are you listening? I said it doesn't matter how old you get, how many years you live after that, you are forever eternal. When the Holy Spirit intermingles with your spirit, God is the Spirit. You have passed from death unto life, and you have eternal life, and you'll never come into judgment, and you cannot die. When this little tabernacle gets weary,
That spirit that intermingled with God's spirit, it's already in heaven. It's already in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God's inside of you. That spirit just lifts out of the little tabernacle. And there you are with God. Hallelujah. I don't even have to get out of the tabernacle. He's already in there. I and him, Jesus said, and he and me. My spirit's in his spirit, and his spirit's in my spirit. I done passed from death into life, never come into condemnation. I've got eternal life. Oh, I wish you could believe that. Some of you folks have been so indoctrinated with ideology until you can't believe what I'm telling you. But I tell you the truth, and I'm not. You are already eternal in your spirit. And you'll never die. You'll never have to go to the judgment to be judged to see if you're worthy. Will you listen for just a moment? A lot of people say, Brother Pike, don't you know you got to get out there in that judgment? I want to show you something, if you'll listen just a minute here. I want to show you just how wrong people can be and not know anything about it. How many believe it's going to be a rapture? Thessalonians, Paul's Thessalonians. A moment in the twinkle of an eye. You believe that? You know why you believe that? You've been taught that. But I want to show you something. Going to be called away. Be translated, as Brother Ernie said. Is that right? That is right. But then, a lot of people's got the idea that they've got to go stand before the judgment throne of God, and God's got to count how many good deeds they've done and how many bad deeds they've done and see if they're going to make it in. Come on now. I said, the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. That is the death of the soul. Is that right? The lake of fire. Is that right? Blessed and holy is he, for the Bible said, these shall rule and reign with him 1,000 years. Are you listening? How many of you know that the judgment don't come until after 1,000 years? Are you listening? I said, God is already married unto you. You're the bride of Christ. You've been raptured away. Are you listening? Are you listening to what I'm saying? I said that you've been raptured away. You've been caught away with Christ. You've lived with him 1,000 years on the new earth. And then you think God's going to take you to the judgment and judge you to see if you're good enough to be his wife. Come on, somebody listen. Say amen. I said, do you mean that you're going to live 1,000 years with the Lord on the earth, be his wife, and then the Lord is going to see if you're good enough to be saved? You understand what I'm saying? Think it over, folks. Think it over. I wish we just had... I won't say I wish we had the time. I wish you had the patience to where the ministry could indoctrinate you with the life of Jesus Christ. The church is like a bunch of spiritual babies that ain't never got out of their diapers. They don't have time to be holy. But thank God for them that do. So then I say this one more time. Do you really believe the Lord is going to rapture you away in the rapture? Let you live 1,000 years on the new earth. And then 1,000 years later, when the great white throne of judgment comes down, as the Bible says it will, that he's going to take you off of the earth and take you before the throne and see if you're good enough to be a Christian. You don't believe that, do you? I don't either. I said, I don't either. Hallelujah, I don't either. Praise God. That makes us know where we're standing, don't it, folks? I said, you saints of God, you know what you are now, don't you? You've already passed from death unto life. You're already without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The Bible said nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You know, the minister's got the idea that they're setting the body for the perfecting of the saints, and the way they perfect them is to tell them to don't do this and don't do that. But the Bible said they're set for the perfecting of their faith. That is, all they got to do is preach the promises of God, and the people believe it. And Paul said this, we wish even the perfecting of your faith, just to tell you your benefits and get you to believe it. That is perfection. The Bible said Abraham's faith was imputed unto his righteousness. Is that right? You love the Lord? Hallelujah. God bless you for your patience. Let's sing one more chorus. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.
We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Do you love Him? Lift your hands up. Let the Lord bless you tonight. While we sing this little chorus again, I want God to bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.